And I looked through a depository of sermons that I tap into from time to time for some ideas and some things, and I found three sermons titled Almost, none of which I'm going to preach tonight, none of which even have anything. They all talked about King Agrippa saying almost, I'm persuaded. Well, that has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about tonight. Almost. You can open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And now you can turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 3. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and some of the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And that's what I want to talk about in verse 8. It increased and produced some 30, some 60, and then some of 100. First it doubled. It increased 30-fold. Then it doubled to 60-fold. Now, he's going up by 30s. So why didn't it go up to 90? 30, 60, 90. God's going up 30, 30, 40. God wants to see where we will choke on our faith. He wants to find out where we're going to choke. He wants to find out where your faith is going to give up. Are you going to go to 30? You're going to go to 60? Are you going to go to 100? Are you going to go the whole route? Or are you going to choke somewhere along the line? How far will you go with your faith? If you were to sow $1,000 tonight, could you believe for $30,000 tomorrow? Or would you choke on that? How about 60,000? Or would you choke before you got to 60? Or could you go the whole way to 100,000? Could you believe for 100,000? Could you believe God that He will give you $100,000 tomorrow if you were to sow $1,000 tonight? Where will you choke on the Word of God? How strong is your faith? Where do we choke at? How many times has somebody offered you something and you considered their circumstances and turned it down? Not the blessing they may be trying to obtain, or the fact that they may be trying to bless you. But you've looked at, in the natural, you've looked at their circumstances and you've turned down, offered you, where you know that they can't afford, or you know that they're really not able to do this well. You know, they've offered you something and you know that it's taking away from what they have. And so you've turned it down. Whose blessing are you stealing? You're not just stealing your blessing, you're stealing their blessing because you've choked on the blessing. You know, when you're wrestling, if somebody uses a choke hold, immediately the match gets stopped. And when you choke on the blessings of God, everything stops. And I'm going to show you that in the Word of God. I'm going to show you how God stops when somebody chokes. Back to Genesis 12. See, Abraham, the father of our faith, you almost in his life. In Genesis 12, the verses we read in verse 7 and 8, God had taken Abraham to the land of Canaan, the land that he had promised the children of Abraham. And he said, I want to show you this land. I want you to see this land that I'm going to give to you. And Abraham started into the land. And he was headed toward Bethel. Bethel, the very word Bethel means God. But he didn't make it. He almost went to Bethel, but didn't make it. Instead, in verse 8, he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. Do you know what Ai means? Ai means a heap or a ruin. It's a dump. It's a garbage ruin. Stopped and ruin. Stopped halfway between God and ruin and built his altar there. That's where he stopped in his blessing. He didn't go the whole way to the house of God. He didn't go the whole way into the fulfillment of the blessing of God. He stopped and built his altar halfway between God and ruin. How many times have we stopped between God and ruin because we didn't go and fulfill the full will of the Lord? We didn't go the whole route. We choked somewhere between 30 and 100 fold. We never finished the route that God laid out for us. And because of that, if you read a little further, you find out that Abraham ended up in Egypt, the land of bondage. And when he got to Egypt, what did he do? He had to lie to save his life. Why? Because he never fulfilled the will of God. He never got the whole way to Bethel. He built his altar. You know, in the Old Testament, when they build an altar, that means this is the place where I'm going to stop and stay and worship. How many times do we stop before we get to our blessing? How many times do we stop before we get to God's perfect will? Another time, God promised Abraham a son through his wife Sarah. Go over to Genesis chapter 15. Starting with verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But, there's that word but again. Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." In verse 5, we see the word seeing. Abraham said, "Seeing, I see no children." God saw that word, heard that word, seeing. He knew what Abraham was depending on. He was depending on his senses. He wasn't depending on what God had to say. What did God tell him? He said, "I will exceedingly bless you. I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward." God started this whole conversation by saying, "Hey, Abraham, I'm going to protect you. I'm your shield. I'm your exceeding great reward. I'm going to bless your socks off, man." And Abraham, instead of moving in the spirit, he said, "Hey, I can only go with what I see. Seeing is believing." And so God works with what he's got. What did he do here in verse 5? He took him outside and said, "Okay, if you're only going to be moved by what you see, look up. Look at the stars. That's how many offspring I'm going to give you, Abraham. If you can only be moved by what you see, then this is what I want to show you. That's how many offspring I'm going to give you. If you're only going to be moved by your senses, then I'm going to fill your senses up." But see, we do the same thing with God. Somebody, you come for prayer and somebody prays for us. Well, things don't change just instantly. We don't instantly feel anything in our bodies. Nothing happened. I didn't get it. What is it you're expecting to get? Were you expecting anything when you came up there? What were you expecting to get? Well, I was expecting to get prayed for. Well, then you came with the wrong expectation. So you didn't even have a 30-fold expectation. You came expecting to be healed, and you'd probably get healed. Not probably, you would get healed if you came expecting to get healed. But people come expecting to get prayed for. "Well, I expect you're going to lay hands on me. What if we went..." "What if we did a Smith Wigglesworth?" You saw one of those, you wouldn't want to come up the next time. "What if we reached down and put mud in your eyes?" "Well, that's not what I expected." That's probably not what that blind guy expected in the Bible either. But see, what we have to understand, folks, is what is it you're expecting from God? Abraham at this point was not expecting anything except for Eliezer to be his heir, because that's all he could see. God's saying, "I'm going to give you an heir out of your own body," but Abraham is thinking, "My body's 86 years old. How's this going to work?" You go over to verse 6. It says, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So God finally convinced him when he showed him the stars. Abraham believed him, but he still didn't know how it was going to work. Sometimes when you do believe God, you don't know how it's going to work. And sometimes if God showed us how it was going to work, it'd scare us. But just remember this, Jesus probably didn't always know how it was going to work either when he was walking on the face of this earth. Yes, he was all God, but he was all man too. He just did what the Father told him to do, and it worked. Did you notice that Jesus never stopped short of his miracle? Even when he laid hands on the blind guy and the guy said, I can see men, they're walking around like trees. Jesus said, wait a minute, you got too much, let's back it down a little bit. Now in chapter 16, starting with verse 1, we see Abraham choke again. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abraham, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Perhaps, please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. Why? Well, Hagar was cute. And Sarah was old. Come on, these guys were people. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. So Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. So after she conceived and Abram had choked, what happened? He gave Hagar to Sarai, and she beat the snot out of her. Why? We don't like to admit our mistakes, do we? We don't want to admit when we missed it. It's hard to miss it and admit it. We try to blame everybody else when we miss it. So they let Hagar take the blame. Thirteen years went by without God speaking. Why? 13 years went by after that without God speaking to Abram again. Why? Abram was in a chokehold. God couldn't do anything for Abram because Abram was trying to do it for himself. Remember how I said a while back, God can't do anything for you when you're choking? 13 years went by while Abram's trying to do it for himself. What was his prayer? Well, Lord, I hope Ishmael follows you. I hope Ishmael's the one. Wasn't God's plan. Abraham was praying out of God's will. What happens when we pray out of God's will? Nothing. And so 13 years went by, and God's silent. He didn't give up. He's just waiting for Abraham to quit choking. You know, when one of our children chokes, You know they're okay because they're choking. They're coughing, they're hacking, they're sucking wind. You know, they're not turning blue, they're sucking wind, they're choking, but we don't keep packing food in their mouth. You let them choke until they get done choking. Well, that's what God was doing with Abraham. He's letting them choke till he's done choking. And after 13 years go by, God wanted to give him a child by Sarah, but Abram was so busy trying to do it himself, God's just standing back waiting. Okay, you know, Abraham, when you're done, you know, I'll come back. It's good God didn't choke. But in Genesis 17:19, we see after the 13 years, then God said, no, Sarah your wife shall bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac. I'll establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I'll bless him. I have blessed him. I'll make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. And he shall beget 12 princes and I'll make him a great nation. And he still is a great nation. But he wasn't God's chosen. Isaac was. And God waited till Abraham quit choking. And then he said, okay, now's the time. 99 years old. Now's the time, Abraham. I'm going to make you a father of the son that I picked. Are you ready to do my will now? When's the last time you heard from God? Is he waiting for you to quit choking? Is he speaking to you? Or is he waiting for you to quit choking? Are you in his will? Or aren't you in his will? I mean, Abraham was one in a long line. We see it all through the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. We see people choke time after time. We see it happen over and over again. And here's a good New Testament example. Look in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. That was God incarnate speaking. I don't know about your Bible, mine has that. That was God incarnate speaking. Launch out into the deep, Simon, turn the deep and put down your nets for a catch. Peter was tired. He'd been fishing all night long, hadn't caught a thing. He'd been working all night. You know, if you've ever worked all night, you know how tired you get. Especially if you're a fisherman and you're throwing those big nets out. Now, these guys didn't have these little fine nylon rope nets. They had big, heavy ropes that were woven from reeds. You know, they'd throw them out. They'd troll them, and they'd bring them back in by hand. He'd been fishing all night. He hadn't caught a thing. That's how he made his living. And now they're back in at shore. He's working and fixing his nets because he knows he has to go fishing tonight. He's exhausted. He's tired. He's frustrated because... You know, If you don't catch any fish, you don't have anything to feed your family or sell to buy the rest of the food and stuff that you need. And here's Jesus saying, hey, I want you to go fishing now. And so Peter turns to God himself and says, a nice religious answer. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. In other words, you know, sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he just says no. In other words, whatever you say, Jesus, I'll just take you at your word. Don't expect anything, but since you said it, I'll do it. Isn't that the way religious folks treat the Word of God? Well, that's what the Bible says, so I guess I'll try it. I drove by a church this week, and they have their sign out. And I'd like to stop and talk to them about it. But I'm afraid I'd irritate them just about as much as their sign irritates me. Because it says, when everything else fails, try God. Well, excuse me, but why don't you do that before everything else fails? As a matter of fact, why don't you just act in faith and get over the everything else failing first? That doesn't mean you won't be attacked. It just means that if you begin to walk in faith, everything else won't fail. Because the word will never fail. I know, because God will hasten to perform his word and it will not return void. Anyhow, so Simon took Jesus at his word, said, okay, if it'll make you happy, we'll go out there again. So they rowed out into the lake and dropped down their net. And verse 6 explains what happens next. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Well, why did the nets break? If God was providing this great harvest for them, why did the nets break? Because they didn't expect anything. They probably didn't use those nets that they'd been working on fixing. And they probably took some old rotten net out of the bottom of the boat because they didn't expect anything to happen. They just threw any old thing in. I mean, we've been fishing all night. We didn't catch anything. Now they had the biggest catch of their life in a net that wasn't able to hold it. They lost part of their harvest because they didn't believe God. When God tells you to do something, you better have the best net you can find. Or you're going to lose part of your harvest. See, Peter choked. He didn't really believe God. He choked. And because he choked, he lost part of his harvest. He didn't get the whole way to 100-fold. I'm not even sure he was the 30-fold. He never got to 100-fold. Because if he'd have been to 100-fold, he'd have run up and down the beach and said, hey, I need to find the biggest, best, most fantastic net I can find. Can somebody please invent nylon here quick? We're going to need nylon. We're going to need 4 boats to get this net in. Because Jesus just told me to go fishing. Did you ever notice that every time Peter gets in trouble, Jesus tells him to go fishing? I think that's good advice. God showed us back in Genesis how much he wants to bless us. People say, oh, well, that prosperity stuff, that's just a bunch of bunk to get people into the church. No, God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. Look at Genesis chapter 13. I mean, we can go further back than that. Where did he put Adam and Eve? He put them in a Garden of Eden where every need they had was met. They had no lack of anything in that Garden of Eden. That's where he put them because he wanted to bless them. But then after that was done away with, in Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Now either God really messed up, or he really wants to bless his people. Why? Because Abram wasn't really anybody special. Abram wasn't even really an Israelite. Why? Because that race didn't start till Isaac. Abram came from it's back in I believe Genesis chapter 11. Terah was Abram's father. He was from Ur of the Chaldeans. It's in Genesis chapter 11, verse 28. He wasn't even an Israelite, but God blessed him in cattle and silver. He was a very, very rich man. He was blessed. And God has been blessing those who follow his will ever since. He's been blessing his people. He's been blessing his people. And the Israelites were in slavery for 400 years in Egypt. They came out of Egypt. What did they do? They brought all the gold and silver out of Egypt that they had. They spoiled, the Bible says, they spoiled the Egyptians. Why do you think Pharaoh came after them? They had all the money. They took everything out of the land there was. They took all the money. They spoiled them. Why? Because God blessed them. Over and over again, we see God blessing his people. Now either he's really messing up, or he wants to bless us. You know, last night we talked about Jesus dying for the curse and redeeming us from the curse of the law. Never says he redeemed us from the blessings. He fulfilled the law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. We've never been redeemed from the blessings of the law. What are the blessings of the law? You'll be blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in your basket, blessed in your store, blessed in every single area of your life. Blessed. As a matter of fact, go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Just so you see, it carries over into the New Testament. I know people will question, well, you know, that's Old Testament, Pastor. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly. That's the kind of blessing stream we can stand in when we stand in his will and we don't choke. You know, some 30, some 60, some 100. I want to be 100. I don't want to choke. Well, but Pastor, so or so is the word. Well, what's the word? What's the word say? It says that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. What's the word say? The word says that by his stripes we were healed. What's the word say? The so or so is the word. So what's the word say? The word says that we're blessed abundantly. Over and over again, the word tells us we're blessed. So if the sower sows the word, then praise God, I want 30, 60, or 100-fold, and I want that 100-fold return, and I don't want to choke on it. And I hope you do too. He says he'll give us enough for ourselves and for every good cause. Every good cause. That's the God we serve. He didn't mess up when he blessed those people in the Old Testament. He didn't give up when he blessed those people in the New Testament. He didn't mess up when he sent Peter fishing. He didn't mess up when he called Lazarus out of the grave. He didn't mess up when he healed the blind. He didn't mess up anytime. That's the God he is. That's the God we serve. And that's the kind of exceedingly abundantly we can expect in our lives. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord God, that we can expect exceedingly abundantly. We can expect 30, 60, and 100-fold return. I thank you, Father God, that we can expect to be blessed as we do your will. Lord, I pray now in Jesus' name that each and every one of us see clearly what your will is. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that each and every one of us would know exactly what it is that you have for us to do next. Lord, we repent of the times we've choked. We repent of the times that we've stopped and camped out between you and ruin. And Lord, fulfill all your will. We want to be total of your will for our lives. So, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you reveal that will to each of us clearly. And just as we should write the vision so that he can see it and run, Lord, we want to know your will so that we can run with your will. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.